Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Oh, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast.
Are you going to pass out?
12 straight, buddy, on the road. That yo was for that. And for your draft stuff, we'll get to it. Don't worry, I'm excited about that too. But yo, Jack. We just swept the Rays in Tampa. 12 straight road wins. Like, who is this Phillies team? Jack and I texting during the game last night. We were just basically going back and forth with all, like, can you, like, what's the most ridiculous thing that's happening? I was like, Craig Kimbrell. The fact that he's good is the most ridiculous thing that has happened this season. And Jack's like, well, actually, 11 straight road wins, which then became 12. And then we had like 15 things. Like, we're here now. The Phillies are good. We did it.
We did it. We did it.
Season, buddy.
That's the big one.
Thank God.
The big one is.
Thank God, I have to say.
I know. And as someone that never doubted this baseball team, it feels very validated.
Check the tape, yep. Friend.
Never once was like, you know what? This team might not be it. And my big takeaway from the series in Tampa, which, by the way, just can't believe it happened.
What a series. They just played great baseball. Like, yeah. It wasn't just that they beat the one of the two best teams record-wise in the sport. Like, they played sound, fundamental baseball. We got the best Aaron Nola we've seen in forever. Like,
dude,
everyone just showed up.
So I texted some people that. I felt like that was the best start he's had since, like, the Reds. Again,
Boston.
The Red Sox start.
I had the same thought, dude. I had the exact same thought.
The Red Sox start
maybe,
that year.
Maybe the one last year in Houston to close out the season was pretty great, too, in that spot.
Well, he
six
went pretty,
and two-thirds perfect or whatever. That
good.
Was pretty great, too. But this one, he goes eight or seven and a third, 12 strikeouts. I mean, and the spot, you know, like there wasn't as much pressure as it felt like in that. They still had three games to get in. Like, they just had to win one of three. Like, this was a spot that Aaron Nola never comes through in, it feels like.
Well, and he was just he was just brilliant.
He was dominant.
He was just brilliant. It's like, there it is.
Like, that guy.
Just do that. It's like, I would love you, buddy. I really would. I would. But my big takeaway from the series is that they have that look again.
Yeah.
And they have that look of, we're good. And, you know, yesterday, even when I feel like I would usually have the thought of, like, they're probably going to lose this game, right?
I texted you that.
I know you did. I know you did. I didn't. I didn't really have that feeling. You didn't respond to me.
I texted Jack. I think it was like in the 10th inning. I'm like, they're not actually going to win this game, right? And he didn't even respond.
I was like, I don't know, man. Like the way they're playing and the confidence they had and just like – the starters on a roll, the bullpen on a roll, offense just do something, just sneak one out, and I feel like you're going to win it. They have that look again, and I know it's early because it's July, but that felt very October Phillies.
Totally.
It really felt like
the Road Warriors thing. Like the last time it felt like that was when they went on that run on the road and then go to the playoffs and keep winning road games. Like that's what it feels like right now with this team on the road, that this group has just bonded and come together again, and like the big balls celebrate, like the whole
thing.
That's
right. So that's what that is, right? Like
yes.
It's Sam Cassell.
Sam Cassell, it's also Major League, like the Marbles. I got those Marbles. Like Major League 2 originally is where I first saw it. But yeah, the Sam Cassell thing, it's clearly what it is. There's no other interpretation.
I guess, and maybe Alex Coffey can get to the bottom of this.
That we need you, Alex.
Yeah, come on,
as always, there's no one else on the beat who has a chance to get to the bottom of this. You're our only hope.
I just want to know why they changed. Like why the switch
up? I was wondering the same thing. They had the glasses.
So
thing
I think
did.
That's for triples.
Okay, just for triples.
That's for triples.
And obviously we had the thumbs up for a while. That's kind of gone away a bit.
Although the bullpen still holds everyone accountable.
Yes, they do.
They make sure that you go out there and do that. I'm very curious where the new celebration, the origin story of it.
Me too. The celebrations are one of the most fascinating things in the sport to me. I asked you at the beginning of the season, I'm like, do teams like coordinate so you don't have the same ones? Like, what if you're playing against a team and you're all doing the thumbs up? Like, I'm so fascinated by it all. And the switch midseason is definitely unexpected.
Yeah, didn't see it coming. Frankly, didn't see it coming. But there's so many important factors to what they're doing right now. And like the celebrations and the camaraderie and the stuff they do on the road, you know, I think that's really important. Obviously, the post game stuff, like the dumping water on each other,
the whole
like
bucket on Bryce.
Yeah, like that. That's fun. That's good stuff. And I know it's a small thing, and I know that this can be viewed as like geeked out about something that doesn't really matter.
Oh no, we never do that. Though.
Never. But I like when Schwarber hit the single yesterday, and they panned to the dugout, and the first guy on the top step of the dugout was Josh Harrison, who was not in the game, not going to play, hasn't played all series. And he's the first one, like, let's go.
Yeah.
And I think that when you have the whole team being bought in to, like, we got to win this game putting the importance on winning that game, I just think that that kind of breeds, like, a winning culture. And what you've seen on the road is what a winning culture to me looks like. And it's been a while since I felt like we could say that. But that's what it looks like to me. And it's just, they went down, like, dude, I texted you this also yesterday. It's like, they went down there and they took the Rays lunch money.
Mm-hmm.
No one goes down to the Trop and takes the Rays
lunch
money.
No one had this year. They're the first.
They're the first team to sweep the Rays at home.
Only the second team to win a series there.
Tucker tweeted this out. They've only lost three home series. And they only got swept in home series. Three out of the last 102 home series. So, like.
So this never happens.
It never happens. And. Like, the Phillies just looked like a better team than the team heading into that series with the most wins in baseball. The Phillies looked better than that.
They were just absolutely better.
They did. Like, finally, the Rays magic hopefully is running out, these scrub players that are all of a sudden, like, good down there. But, man, what a series. What a week.
Last night when they didn't score in the 10th, I was 100% sure they were losing that game. And then Strom comes out and just handles it. The bullpen just doesn't give up runs anymore. So that's pretty sweet.
It's a fun development.
It's a good thing for
it. It's a really fun development. And something that
I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, well, and one of the most under-talked about things is, I mean, 2 weeks ago, they essentially just gave Matt Strom the week off because they want to limit his innings as best as possible. His last two outings,
he looked awesome.
Early season Strom.
Yeah, it was exactly like that. Fastball's getting by people. It's got that zip to it.
Come on, my watch. Man. You're so fired up. The watch is going off.
My watch is going off. That's a fire. But yeah, dude. I mean, Strom looked awesome. Like, look, they've been giving up a run in nine outings or nine games. The bullpen and Sir Anthony's hurt right now. Like, we came in and seen me. Like, that's our best reliever. Like, they did it without Alvarado for a while. I mean, the depth, the amount of talent back there is something we have not seen in our time doing this podcast by a mile.
Well, and the big development to me is also, you know, and we were calling for Bilotti to come back up and maybe even and Brogdon. But Junior Marte.
Junior.
I mean,
it's a win for you, buddy.
Finally.
You could take the win, I think.
Finally.
He's nasty.
Yeah.
Like, now that he's trusting his stuff, and to your point, like, unafraid to just throw the 98, like, down the pike, whatever, like, that slider, like, he's nasty,
Let's talk about a crazy development that Caleb Cotham has taught the pitchers. Hey, throw it down the middle.
Like, it's like Craig Kimbrell. It's like the whole thing. It's like, what are we doing here? It's like, just throw strikes.
Throw it down the middle.
Christopher Sanchez, throw strikes.
Jose Alvarado, throw it down the middle and let your stuff play.
I know.
All these guys, just, hey, you see that? Just throw it there and then let your stuff just work off of it. Crazy concept. Caleb Cotham, assistant coach of the year. So, but yeah, like, Junior Marte, dude, he can't, like the craziest part about where we're at with this Phillies pitching staff is that I have no fear.
I know.
Like, I'm just, it's like Chris Sanchez going six innings with one earned yesterday. I was like, of course he did.
Dude, I picked him up in fantasy for a spot start.
Now that's sickening.
I was like, he's
that
got
is,
it, man.
That is sickening
stuff.
Like,
Christopher
stuff
Sanchez has it.
That is like, sickening.
It is sickening. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Like, again, that's where this team is at. And,
well, you put the, again, like, Junior Marte coming into a 1-1 game in the seventh.
Yeah.
It's like, he's going to do his thing.
Of course he is. That's what
he does.
Yes.
Simply what he does.
Yeah.
It's just like Jeff Hoffman coming in the other night in an 8-4 game.
Yeah.
By the way, great managing by Rob Thompson to not have to use one of his studs there and trust Jeff Hoffman in that spot.
Great.
Because then it lets Alvarado pitch yesterday.
Yep.
Let's
use, you know, Kimbrel again, the whole thing.
And that's trusting. That's trusting your guys. And that's what made.
And they don't win the game yesterday without that.
I agree.
Obviously. Yeah.
But that's what made him, I think, topper last year, was that the guys believed in him because he believed in them. And I think you're starting to see that again. You're starting to see, like, okay, Jeff Hoffman, like, go do your job. And he's just like, all right, I'll go do my job. By the way, like, his stuff is stupid, man.
Well,
like,
I mean, he's a top pick guy. Like, he's one of those guys.
The ninth pick in the
draft. Yeah, like, he's one of those guys who like, a real pedigree guy who, you know, injuries and got off track and stuff. But, I mean, the stuff has never been a question with Jeff Hoffman, ever.
Yeah, no, not at all. And he's finally, again, another guy. Hey. Just throw it down the middle and see what happens with
Boom.
Your stuff. You know, like, try to throw that splitter, like, right down. And
I feel I could do Caleb Cotham's job at this point.
Dude, I know, but, man, and I don't think – I did this whole thing on the final out last night, but, like who – besides most of Nola's season, everyone else has gotten
– Everyone else has gotten better.
Like, they've gotten – when – dude, when have we seen the Phillies get the most out of random guys?
Never.
Never.
This has been our issue forever. We always talk about, like, how we never have those guys. The guys just come up and get outs for you and make plays. And they never have those dudes.
Yes.
And now they're like, it's full of them. We got Pilotti in the minors. The dude hasn't given up a run in like a month in the minors.
Yeah.
Can you get back on the major league roster? Like, that's crazy.
Well, and I think it's time to start putting the Phillies in the conversations of the teams that are great at developing pitching. Not just like,
wow,
but not like just,
wow,
not developing just prospects.
No, but taking, reclamation projects.
Yeah, reclamation projects.
Yeah.
Rays, Dodgers, Yankees, Astros.
Wow.
Phils?
Phils? Honestly, I'm like speechless right now. I don't even know. But you're right. Like, Phils? You're right. But I don't, like, Craig Kimbrel wasn't on the postseason roster for the Dodgers last year.
Dodgers, fraud watch?
Yeah, hey,
fraud
I'm just
watch?
Saying. You know?
We fixed Craig Kimbrel.
Hey, the Phillies are better than the Dodgers. I'll say that right now. I feel very confident
uh-oh.
About that.
I'm talking
as a team right now. Team right now. The Phillies, the team this season are better than the Dodgers.
We have reached full high hopes.
We are there, dude.
We are better than they. Hey, bring on the Dodgers.
Bring on the. I don't care. I'm not scared of anybody right now. I really am not. Like, the Braves are damn good. I get it.
Oh, well, I'm terrified of
the Braves. They're great. But we beat them in the playoffs last year. And let's be honest, you know, their offense is amazing. Philly's pitching is significantly better than Atlanta's. Like, if at least the last month and a half, like, they've been better. The bullpen's better. It's just the Braves have the best lineup we've seen in a while.
I mean, maybe in a while. Listen, this is our podcast. We don't need to wax poetically about the Braves. Pretty good. Pretty good.
You're damn good. All right, let's get into the ins and outs of the series. Plus, coming up later. Really, the only reason this podcast is happening.
No, I don't want the draft
good.
Stuff to overshadow.
It shouldn't. Finally,
yeah, never.
Finally, but
this isn't 2019.
Yeah,
2020,
but we do have some fun draft stuff coming later. If you're one of those sickos like Fritz who really, really cares about the MLB draft.
By the way, some positive developments in recent mock drafts.
Oh,
I'll
good.
Say that.
Oh, that's what I was hoping.
Even though it's from people I don't think know what they're talking about.
So, like, the last 5 to 10 minutes of this pod, you'll just hear my mic turn off and I'll just let Jack go.
Thank you.
You're welcome, buddy. It's your Super
Thank
Bowl.
Thank you.
All right. Shout out to Miller Lite, by the way. Come hang out with us. All-Star Game Tuesday night. We're going to be at Timeout in Huntington Valley, all presented by Miller Lite. Tommy Green's going to be there. We're going to be there hanging out, watching the All-Star Game, drinking $3 Miller Lite. So coming out with us, Time Out in Huntington Valley. We'll be there for the All-Star Game, 7 o'clock. It's going to be an awesome time. All thanks to Miller Lite. All right.
So full disclosure before we, I know. I'm going through my big board right now.
Oh, good. I'm happy you did wait until now to go through it. Yeah.
Well, believe me, this is all in my memory.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just making sure I'm writing it down as we're going.
And
you can't deny I've been locked in early on the podcast.
You have been.
Thank you.
Very locked in. I'm impressed.
Like this is there's a lot of brain power being put out right now.
You came in hot today.
No, I did. I'm very excited to be here. Yeah. Like I wanted to do this last night at like 10.
I know you did.
Like I wanted to do was do High Hopes. Yeah. I couldn't sleep.
You actually wanted to do it yesterday. And I was like, we gotta wait for the end of the series.
Well, some of us knew it was gonna happen. Yeah,
you
tonight.
Were like, now let's just go today.
Yeah. No, but before there's so many names on my like I'm already sorry. I'm sorry. And now I'm just getting to my late round guys. I need to make sure I bring
Great.
Up.
I don't miss those later. Those are the most important
those
ones.
Are the ones yes. that you get.
Yes.
But hold on. But deny this, man. A couple years ago I said Griff, right?
Yeah.
And Griff was taken in the fifth round and although I watched a start last night, he needs Cotham to say, hey,
throw strikes.
Throw the ball down the middle and just see what happens. Like, that's the biggest thing for Griff because the stuff still plays. It's ridiculous. But yeah, this is getting to. I've watched too much draft. I think that's my big takeaway. Talk too much draft.
A little too much draft action. Yeah, I think that's probably true. So, listener, loyal listener, you get to hear that. You're the beneficiary of that, you know, way too much time spent on the draft. So that's coming up. A little bit. All right, let's get to the Rays series. We'll look ahead to the Marlins. As again, like the Marlins series obviously is massive because Philly's two games back of them right now, but also more important than in years past because for two reasons. One, tiebreakers, they don't play game 163 anymore. Like tiebreakers come down to, I mean, the seeding and playoff spots come down to tiebreakers, and they don't play the Marlins 19 times anymore either. There are 10 games against the Marlins this year. So like these games are like exceptionally important. Like they really are.
Yeah, and especially when you're talking about at least in the wild card. I feel the importance. I do.
It's the Marlins and Flyers. It's like, what are we? We're in that stadium. I can't watch a game in that stadium and feel like it's a meaningful game. You know?
They're good, man. Like that's how I felt. That's why I felt after the National Series, the Phillies. Like I wasn't pressing the panic button. And even if they go down there and lose 2 or 3,
it's fine.
It's like they're
better than Marlins.
They have done enough in the last month to just calm everyone down.
They're 8 games above 500 all of a sudden.
22-8 with Kyle Schwarber at the leadoff.
Yeah, but I've been the worst. I hate it.
I'm getting tired of it.
They're 22-8 with the guy in the leadoff spot. You know what? Who cares?
Well,
it's like Bryce Harper's not hitting home run. Guess what? They're 22-8 when he's not hitting home run. I want him to hit him, but like it's okay. Like they're good.
Yeah. Obviously, the main reason they're 22-8 is because the starting pitching is great.
Yeah, and the bullpen.
the bullpen's great,
period. Like, the pitching has carried them.
It's just like, I just, every day complaining about the batting average. And, obviously, like, the guy's struggling. I mean, like, the average is definitely a problem. But at the same time, would I rather him be batting 220 with 15 home runs? Or would I rather him be batting 189 with 22 home runs?
So that answer would be the same any year? But it's particularly 22 home runs this year when no one else can hit home runs on this team. Like, his power is even more important this season for this team. Like, it is desperately needed with this group.
Yeah. And it's just, it's mostly working. Like, it's mostly working. The offense is doing its job. And
22-8 in the last 30.
And you can't tell me that he has given them a first inning lead 6 times in June. Like, that matters.
It matters.
So, I can't do the everyday Schwarber stinks, and the whole idea of like the deadline and that coming up. The only way you're getting that out of left field is if Bryce can play first.
That's it.
Like,
there's no other way.
Like, let's PSA to everyone. Like, you can't get him out of left field unless that guy can play first base. That's it. Or else he's there.
And look, I know. Look, ideally Bryce can play first base. I do think that that is the best outcome for this team, but like, I am far more concerned about Bryce Harper's elbow being good to hit baseballs. Like, I want Bryce Harper hitting the ball out of the ballpark. If he can play first base, that's nice. Like, that'd be cool. But not in any way if it's any sort of detriment to his ability to hit the baseball. Like, that has to be the priority.
Yeah, and real quick on Bryce.
And health, obviously.
Real quick on Bryce. I think he's close.
I think so, too. He's clearly frustrated. Like, so frustrated. I think it's
really
close to.
It's really pull side power now. Like I think opposite field power has mostly been
it's
there.
It's been mostly there. He's come close a few times.
It's the pull side still driving the ball into the ground, but he's hitting the ball hard. I mean, it is funny. You guys talked about today that his OBP is almost as close
it's
as
wild.
His slugging percentage.
I know.
But I mean, he's gone on base at almost a
400. Almost 400 clip. He's been, honestly, I've always said absolutely not to him as a leadoff hitter. Like right now, this version of Bryce Harper is a leadoff hitter.
He is. I think the most under-talked about important thing of the 22-8 in the last, whatever, is that 31?
30. It's good math, right?
That was
there.
Really dumb by me.
Yeah, that was about as simple
because
as
I was about to get into like a really important thing I wanted to bring up, and I did. I tried to do quick math, and now I feel really dumb.
It was a bad one.
Really
that,
dumb.
That was, pretty simple stuff.
Really dumb. 2 + 8 = 10. You idiot. Such an idiot.
Yeah.
Anyway. God, that's so stupid. That's so stupid.
Well, at least you didn't say it into a microphone for posterity forever.
22-8, which is 30 in the last 30 games. They've done it all without Bryce driving the ball out of the ballpark. Yeah. Like, he has no home runs. I mean, he hasn't had a home run since May 23rd, I don't think.
Yeah, it's like, obviously, it's been the longest streak of his career. He's like 160, 170 at bats or something. I mean, it's nuts.
In a world full of noise, long-term thinking stands out. On the Capital Ideas podcast, Capital Group leaders explore the decisions that matter most in investing, leadership, and life. It's a rare look inside a firm that's been helping people pursue their financial goals for more than 90 years. Listen to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
So what is this team? What is this team when Bryce figures it out? When, like, I think Turner is slowly...
I do, too. I think he's getting there.
He's getting there. Schwarber, I thought he actually just missed a couple home, like, just missed down
and
in
look,
Tampa.
He did have a double and a single last night that were the two most important hits of the game.
I agree.
Right? So, you know?
So the offense, done a better job, still not firing on all cylinders.
And look, the other guys, like, I mean, Bohm has looked great since coming back. Like,
Stoddy!
And I'm getting, I mean, like, Stott is like, you tweeted it, like, that took a winning batting title. And I've said on the pod earlier, like, he's banked 320 something against lefties, 325 going to that last bat. So he was like 324, 323 against lefties this year. Like the dude's just a hitter, the four hit night the other night.
Dude,
like the bottom of the line. And look, Derek Hall homered last night.
I know.
Finally.
And Marshy.
Getting a little going here. So
Marshy's coming around.
Yeah.
Stoddy, in year two.
Just a stud.
In year two, he's batting over 300.
Yeah.
Like, has a multiple big hits, has the second most two-strike hits in baseball or the most two-strike hits in baseball, either way.
It's him or Rice, I would assume.
Like, dude, what does Bryson Stott look like in age 28, 29, 30?
He is so, so far advanced compared to where I expect him. Especially after what we saw last year, we saw he's like a good hitter. Like, all right, this guy, he improved throughout the course of the season, which I thought was really impressive. You know, he's batting like one, whatever it was, through May. And then all of a sudden, just figured it out. And then playoffs happen, and he gets some big hits, and he gets some spots. Like, I really liked him, and I was really excited about his future. It's like a Jalen Hurts leap with this guy in terms of his bat-to-ball skills, his ability in year two. Like, nothing is a Jalen Hurts leap. Don't get me wrong. But, like,
Well, if you had to bank on one to be better for the entire of their career, you obviously take Stott, right? I'm just kidding. Relax. Deep breaths.
You would take Stott. Don't lie.
Well, it's a fill. Like, come on, man. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, I think I would.
Yeah. It's a fill. I will defend Phillies until...
No matter what.
No matter what. Yeah. No matter what side. Hey, no matter what side, taking the fill side. But, like, on the bigger part, the fact that they've done all this without Bryce just, like, being Bryce yet, like, a month from now, if Bryce can get the power stroke going, which I think he can... Coupled with, by the way, Castellanos finding the power again, home runs in his last.
And that homer, he crushed that ball to center.
Bomb. Yeah. But you put that with the pitching staff and what they're doing right now, like the ceiling of this team, and they're just better than they were last year at this point. I mean, they are. They you see it on the field more. You look at the roster, and it's like, bang, look at all these guys they can go to. Stranthony coming back from the oblique and being fine is going to be a big key here.
I mean,
here.
Think about that. With how great they've been, like, they just got that dude waiting in the wings.
Exactly. Like, they're just, the upside of this team is there again.
I mean, like, I think they, with the healthy Stranthony, like, they might have the best bullpen in baseball. Like, it's certainly top three. Like, they are that great. And look, we talk about it every year, and we saw it in the World Series. Like, your starting rotation and your bullpen are just the most important things in the playoffs. They just are.
Well, and we're not even, like, what do they do at the deadline? I mean,
yeah,
like,
it's great. We're not even talking about that.
Like,
you're right.
They could go into the deadline, and obviously the impact bat, I think, is something that we are looking for.
We are.
But even if they wanted to go out and get another bullpen piece,
yeah,
and just make it like a freaking,
like a joke,
a superstar back,
like,
there.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, no problem at all. No problem. It's just, it's exciting, man. Like, it's fun to see them finally firing on all cylinders. And again, like, 12 straight road wins seems impossible.
It seems, dude, you were right. When I said the Kimbrel thing and then you wrote the 11 straight at the time and now 12 straight, you're right. That is the most shocking. It hasn't happened since 1888. So yeah, let's go with that as the most shocking thing that, you know.
And 76. I think 76, they won 13. So we got one more.
Okay.
We got one more tonight.
One more tonight.
Yes.
Regardless, like, the fact that this team is just, like, for the first time all season over the last few weeks, like, it's like, that's the team we expected
yes.
to see. The two more wins team.
Yes.
That team that we talked about, we got them.
Yeah, they're grinding it out, being tough. Like, just,
they feel like winners. They look like winners. The way, to your point, like, all the, I mean, I know it's like silly and stuff, but it's something that we've cared about on this pod. The entire history of the pod is just like chemistry and culture and like guys looking like they're having fun out there and guys looking like they like playing with each other. Like, that has always been something that we have harped on and cared about. And this is the best, like, the playoff run last year, and this is the best I've seen it in the history of this podcast without a doubt.
Well, that's why I think going on the road is actually important for this team, because it's not an indictment of the crowd at Citizens Bank Park. But
they've been winning at home, too. Like, they have a winning record at home.
They have been. But I do think there's a little bit extra level of tightness at home, because the crowd wants it to feel like October every game. You know what I mean? So it's not...
It's almost like too much pressure.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, at home, it's like, we want to go. That's why I think they make so many base running mistakes at
home.
Yeah,
that's a really good point. They want to impress the crowd.
I think they want to impress the crowd.
That's a really good point.
And I think going on the road, they just can go play. Just go play.
Yeah.
Just go play. And I think one of the more impressive parts of what they've done on this road streak, I know Chicago was great from an atmosphere standpoint, but remember the last couple of years they would go to Miami and there'd be five people on the ballpark and they would play like it?
Oh, yeah.
They went to Oakland, 1-3 straight. They went down to Tampa and 1-3 straight. Like, they're doing in these ballparks that are dead. Now,
Tampa had some Phillies flavor.
A lot of Phils fans.
You're spreading your Clearwater. Makes sense. I was thinking about it. I was watching the game, and I'm turning to Emily, and I'm like, man, like, it's really loud down there. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Wonder why. Yeah.
Clearwater.
Wonder
that
why.
Sense. That makes sense.
So,
and, oh, yeah, no Rays fans.
So no Rays fans. Yeah. But, yeah, it's just, like, their ability to go into these ballparks where you have to almost create your own energy.
Yeah, which they never used to do.
Never.
It didn't matter if it was Miami, Cincinnati, whatever. Like, we talked hundreds of times. We've talked about that on the pod, of just like a no energy team on the road, an empty stadium. Can't you've used that phrase, that exact phrase, Jack? I have it like burned in my mind of
nice.
You going like, they need to create their own energy on the road, and they haven't been able to do it. Like, you've said that so many times.
Well, and that's why Garrett Stubbs, the second most important Philly behind Schwarber.
He really is important.
He's very important.
I was thinking about it when I was watching the game last. And also, by the way, like, a really solid backup catcher, too. Like, got a good arm, makes great throws down to second.
Calls a great game.
Seems like he calls a really good game, though. I will say, I feel like he drops more strikes than any catcher I've ever seen for some reason. You know what I mean? Like, just like, not a big deal, but like, they just kind of bounce off the bottom of his glove.
It's because, again, he's a little leader.
He's a little guy.
He's a little guy.
But I feel like it happens all the time. But, like, he's a really solid player, a solid hitter. Like, obviously took one for the team last night.
Oh, he wore that.
I will say, I was thinking about watching last night because I think it's most startling when you go to a normal Phillies game and he's doing that catching in between innings, like if JT was batting or whatever and he's getting his gear on, and Stubbs comes out, and when he's got no gear on over, he looks, like, so absurdly small
yes.
out there. But I always think about, like, he was the best player on his freaking high school team. He's the best player on his college. Like, all these dudes who tower. Like, now he's, like, not the best player, obviously, but he's a major league player. But, like, I think about, like, Garrett Stubbs with a bunch of dudes on his college team where he's, like, the little guy, and he's just way better than all those
well,
guys.
Well, I mean,
that's awesome.
At one point, he's a top 20 prospect for the Astros.
That's what I mean.
Like, he's just, yeah. And
but he is the culture dude,
of
man.
Of course
they
is.
They all love him. Like,
yeah.
Those guys love him.
And, sure, they could go find a better backup catcher, but I don't need it.
And even then, like, honestly, like, that's the kind of thing, and Andrew Knapp I do think was particularly bad, But it was but it was one of those things with like, look, backup catchers are bad when it comes to hitting. Like,
you couldn't get past that with Nappy. Nappy worked a great at bat, called a good game, and all I heard, oh, Nappy's the woat.
Yeah.
Grow up.
He was the woat. You know why? Because he got us Garrett Stubbs. Don't you love Stubbs more?
I do love Stubbs.
So there you
go. Love Stubbs.
I was right. I called for a better one and I got
Congratulations. You nailed the backup catcher.
Everyone, you're welcome.
Yep.
All right. And he's a Jew. And he's a Jew.
There
Think about
it
that.
Is.
That in fact, I'm gonna claim ownership of Garrett Stubbs. Garrett Stubbs is a Philly because of me.
Yes. Well, no, and he is just like, again, he has all the playlists. He has, you know, like he's the energy guy. I believe he came up with a new celebration too.
If I had to guess,
it was because of him.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Like, it seems like a Garrett Stubbs.
Totally
like
that.
Like, this is gonna be our new thing.
We're all beamed up.
What he's like walking up and down the dugout before the game, like doing high five. Like, he's very important. They would not be as good as they are without Garrett
Stubbs. I'm a big glue guy. I really am.
Well, because many say that you're the glue of WIP.
Yeah, I agree with that. Thank you.
You are the glue guy of this radio program.
Yeah, I'm a friendly guy.
Yeah.
I think it's important. And I'm so with you, dude. I think Stubbs has been an underratedly, incredibly important part of this team. All right, what else stood out to you? We talked about Nola, obviously. I think that, you know, at least for me, when outside of just like them going to Tampa winning these games, like if I had to pick one dude who kind of like, I think is like the most important thing we saw in Tampa, it was that start from Nola.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
I would say that. I thought Tomlin Walker, you know, I think it was important.
Battling.
Yeah, I mean, just being able to go do that. And the other thing that I thought was interesting, they didn't do it with Sanchez yesterday because I don't think that, you know, maybe two starts from now, if he continues to keep this up, they will be more open to it. But I thought it was noticeable. And we talk about these guys trusting Rob Thompson because he trusts in them. Talked about it with Jeff Hoffman,
yep.
Talked about it with Junior Marte.
Mm-hmm.
Nola going out for the eighth.
I thought about it in the moment because you said this last time. We talked about it with the Wheeler thing. I am so with you.
So Nola going out for the eighth. And then he gave Tomlin Walker the seventh.
And he got through it.
Yeah.
He handled it.
Yeah, and he's done that a couple times with these starters. And it's saved a couple of pieces of the bullpen, which is good, which is important. But I do think it gives those guys like, all right, Rob's got me. I got to go do this. And we talk about the importance of a manager and what does a manager do? And like, everyone's questioning, like, oh, they do is set a lineup.
It doesn't even matter.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's what managers, that's why they're not coaches.
No, it's like with Joe Torre. Everyone used to be like, what the hell is that guy doing? It's that he kept the clubhouse together. Everyone loved him. He was able to find ways to get players to motivate guys and all that. But like, you don't, but the funny thing is,
I think Rob Thompson's winning percentage is like .638, right?
Dude,
now.
Just saying. I will say too, I think with Thompson, we're starting to see something that was, you know, basically until game six of the World Series, like a Topper had it. It just felt like whenever we would make these moves where everyone's like, why are you doing that? It worked.
Well.
And we're seeing that. Like Josh Harrison starts. Like, it seems like the dude homers when he starts. Or this, that. Like, it's like, Topper keeps doing these things where it's like, why are you doing it? Like, the other day, I can't remember what it was. They're facing a lefty and both Stott and Marsh are down. And like, you know, Pache comes through and freaking, you know, Josh Harrison comes through. And it's like, I feel like we're starting to get back to that point where like, even when it maybe isn't the smartest or best decision, like it goes right for Topper.
Yeah, but he's definitely, yesterday was the heat check for him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no
I mean,
doubt.
He had five straight lefties batting. Like, what are we doing? I mean, you don't have to
it's
do
funny
that.
Because it was almost like, all right, Rays, I'm going to out-Ray you.
Because
that's the kind of thing the Rays would do. Like, the only team that if you said, all right, what team in baseball is going to have five straight lefties in the lineup? Be like, the Rays. They'd obviously.
Five,
they might, the Rays might have nine straight lefties in the lineup.
Five straight lefties. I was like, what are you doing? And then the other hot streak moment was in the 10th, he let Derek Hall bat.
Yeah, that's another great point.
Like, I mean, unless they just want to give JT the full day, but I don't know.
Which they might. They've been weird with the days, the double days. They've liked to give guys the 2 days off and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So, look, hey, I will give them credit in that they've done a nice job keeping guys healthy so far this season, especially with how taxed the bullpen was early in the season. I mean, a guy like Strom, we talked about, he's already surpassed his innings for combined the last two seasons. So, you know, like, I do think Topper's found a way to really navigate this.
Yeah.
And he's got a really good feel for this roster.
Well, and I think a lot of it comes back to also this Kauffman and his staff. I think Kauffman and his staff putting together the game plan.
The
like
whole thing, Long, the biomechanics, the whole group. Like, again, you know, back up to the top. The guy we always loved, the guy we always said was going to do a great job here. I mean, Dave Dombrowski just deserves a ton of freaking credit for how this organization functions, how they look. The fact that they're a real, like, feels like real checks and balances, real like best practices, like all these things that high functioning organizations have that we have not had in a really long time, Jack, or ever. Like, it just feels like it's a really high functioning organization top to bottom.
And it's starting to bear itself out on the field. Which,
yeah.
Which is the best part of it all. So, yeah, because the beginning of this podcast, first couple of years of this podcast, it was like, are they a well-run team? Like, does anyone down there know what they're doing? Last 2 years, I mean,
it's like a night and day.
The organizational shift, even like getting the analytics right, and I mean, it's a minor thing, but having Stott playing up the middle last night, he dives.
The double play, that was a big play in that game.
He's in the right spot.
They might lose that game if he's not, because the run score is there, who knows?
Yep, totally agree. And it's just, they are finally, dude, when Gabe first got hired, they had the wrong shifts for an entire year. Because they had no idea
they couldn't read the analytics. They didn't understand it.
Dude, that was so funny. It was one of the most funny storylines of the early Gabe was that they tried all this advanced stuff that didn't make any sense because they were reading it wrong.
Because it didn't.
They're reading the information
didn't
wrong.
Didn't make sense. Yeah,
I was watching it like, Freddie Freeman.
The amount of balls that were hit to no one and just like, I remember us just being like, normal baseballs. Like, there were few things. Don't get me wrong. We all remember the 2020 bullpen. That was the worst. But in terms of just watching a baseball team and feeling deflated, there are a few things more deflating than just seeing balls hit to the shortstop and there's no one there. Or a ball that's hit to second base and there's no one there.
Right.
Like, and like by a wide margin.
Well, they used to like shift Freddie Freeman. It's like, wow, he can hit it wherever he wants.
Put it all over the field,
buddy. Yeah, you don't need to shift him.
Yeah.
And we've gone from that. We've gone from not knowing how to read shifts, not knowing the right bullpen guys to bring in the right spot. To where they are now, where it's just like, they got it. And the beginning of the season was incredibly frustrating. And coming off the World Series and starting off and getting to six games under 500 and whatnot. The thing that has me the most happy and excited right now is that, first off, the ballpark's been full all year long.
Shout out, dude. That's been, because they've not earned it.
They've not earned it. Yeah, you know, they earned it last year, but
yeah,
they played this year.
And look, they have
won
at home. Like, the home record's been good. Like, the people who show up, they've seen more wins than losses and stuff. But as a baseball team, they underperformed. But people showed up, which was huge.
And I can't wait until after the All-Star break. Because I think this Rays series, for a lot of people that were still doubting if they were truly a good team, this Rays series, I think, validated a lot of people. Like, all right, they're back. Like,
I'm so excited, dude.
I know.
They are. Like, we got a good.
They are. They're good.
I literally yelled, thank God, at the top of my lungs in my house last night when they won. And I said it to Emily because she's all year, you know, I love to, you know, tell her everything, complain about everything, all that. Like, I kept saying to her, I'm like, this was the year that I was most excited for the Phillies, like, in as long as I can remember, certainly in my career by miles. Like, this is the most excited I've been. And it's been such a letdown that they just came out of the gate the way they did and looked the way they did. And I'm just so freaking happy that we're at the point where we're like, we got a good team. That they're the team we expected to see. Like, I'm like, really, like, it is a beautiful day, man.
By the way, it would be 13 straight road games if Cody Clemens could have kept that ball fair.
That's a really good point. There's a reason he's in the minors.
Yeah, keep that ball fair. By the way, that's not JT hit for the cycle and ended David Bell's reign of terror.
We didn't want him to win that
exactly
game.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
No, again, that game was perfect. Let me ask you something real quick on the David Bell thing.
Okay, well, it's funny because I actually have a question for you.
Well, it might have been because it was brought up on your show today.
Oh, no, so I have a different one.
Okay.
Mine is Francisco Lindor related.
Okay.
Okay.
David Bell or Wes Helms for you? Because you sounded like your hatred of Wes Helms felt very personal to my hatred of David Bell.
So I hate to do this because I know how much you hate it. Like, it was easily Wes Helms.
I hated Wes Helms, too.
I hated that guy. Like, I hated him. I hated everything. I hated his face.
Dude, there was, like, three straight years they tried to bring in former Marlins. They brought in Conine, who was terrible here. They brought in Wes Helms, and they brought in Wigginton.
Yep. Yeah, and Wigginton had a career. You know, Wigginton just lasted and lasted and lasted in that moment. Like, Wes Helms, easily my least favorite of all those guys.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah. Honestly, the David Bell, if he didn't hit for the cycle, Wes Helms would be number one.
Yeah. It's the Bell for years. So, all right. It's funny because this is my question. This is a how mad would you have been at him situation. Francisco Lindor last night goes 5 for 5. Home run, 2 singles. two triples.
I know.
How mad would you have been if a Philly, let's say, Trey Turner, because it's shortstop, shorts, whatever, if Trey Turner had had a night like that, where if he had just been not so greedy to get that extra triple.
Yep, making it a me guy.
Making it a me guy. Could add the cycle. How devastating would that have been for you before, you know, the reign of terror?
Because
I could only think about you when I saw that. Like, I was like, you'd be yelling at Lindner. Stop!
So, obviously, I'd be mad, but also happy at the same time because it'd be funny. Like, I could come on and, like,
such a good bit,
like, rip Lindor.
Like, if,
why did you stop? It was right there. It was right there for you. You know what
especially
I mean?
Especially the me guy, I think, is really good. Yep. You want a triple? Come on.
Yeah. Think about the greater good. Think about the greater good. That would have been
trying to help the team win a baseball game? You're trying to get the cycle.
Exactly.
Okay?
Right.
Yeah.
Think about the important things.
Yeah. So, anyway, I couldn't help but think of you.
Good.
No.
Proud of you.
Well, I do like that the vit lives on. You know, it's over, but I still can't watch cycles or potential seconds forever and not think of you and think of the bit. So that you really, that was a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, that one will last forever.
We'll see if I can replicate it.
Well, you always seem to.
I always
say I can't, and then somehow, some way, there's always another one that works just as great.
Thanks.
It's a really impressive thing. You know what I feel.
I
think you're the best at it in the business. Okay. Anything else from the Rays series?
Do you want to do take bag and then?
That's what I figured we would do. Yeah, okay. So that's what I was going to say. Anything else from the series? Take bag,
all
draft.
Right. It's all kind of.
I'm committed to you today, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
Just so everyone knows, I have a very, very obviously can't be that strict, but generally strict no recording on Fridays policy.
Yeah, but
I'm here. I'm excited. I was looking forward to it. I'm just letting you know how happy I am to be doing this.
Right.
Bobby.
Also, next week I am off. I'm going to do a podcast on Sunday. Two podcasts on Sunday.
I know.
I'm going to have an event Tuesday, and I'm going to have a podcast on Wednesday reacting to the entire draft. So why don't you calm down, your little Friday thing? Give the rest of the day off.
I love it. You're like, well, I'm going to work on my week off
because
I'm off the rest of the week. So that you should yes.
Well. Believe
guess
me,
what? I'm off, I have a pretty good feeling we're going to be doing pods when I'm off too.
We will be.
Yeah,
yes.
We'll be there, buddy.
Yeah, lock in.
We do. We're always here.
Yes. Well, right. Unless the Phils are playing bad.
Unless the Phils are playing bad, then we are absolutely not there. And then maybe, you know, a week or two in the offseason when we maybe skip one. But
exactly
it's pretty
right.
Rare. We're pretty consistently here.
Yes.
So, you know.
I only have like three things in the take
good,
bag.
Because I'm sure you got like 15 minutes to draft.
Yeah,
session.
I do.
I can't complain about having to go to bed. So.
There are two things that I need to address with you personally.
Oh, goodness. Uh-oh.
One.
That's always a dangerous lead-in. Right?
One is that I noticed that I'm out of the profile picture.
Okay, this is a good one.
Thank
okay,
you. So I meant to bring this up last podcast.
Do you want my official response to that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have I ever been in your profile picture?
No.
Okay.
Me guy.
There we go. So I gave you a nice run, like 8-month run right there, center stage. And then, you know, you got usurped by Jason Kelsey. It could be worse, all right?
Well, who's a bigger legend in Philadelphia?
I mean, you are, obviously.
No, you're Jason Kelsey.
You know, I had to mix it up a little
bit. Well, actually, I'm glad I'm not your because I was pretty drunk.
Yeah, you look at a little bit too. Like, I'm definitely more with it in that moment.
Yeah. Well, dude, it's like, this isn't a problem. It's just like I walk around, people are like, can I get you?
I know.
It's like, well, I'm not one to turn
down. I get it. Trust me. I know that game, pal.
I'm not one to
you
turn
down. You want
to
give me a Miller Lite? Yeah, I'll take a
Miller
Lite.
Yeah, I'll take
one.
Yeah,
sounds great.
And the second thing is, do you think the Phillies' social media handles are stealing my bit?
Oh, goodness. So tell me what I missed.
Did you see their tweet this morning?
No.
So they tweeted out four photos
okay.
of the series in Tampa Bay, and they said, definitely the biggest win against the Rays in team history.
Oh, my God, yes.
Sickening, right?
No, oh my,
absolutely
wow.
sickening.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it's
there people, is no question.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Shout out to Philly social media. We love you guys.
We know you listen.
We love you. We're big fans. Just, you know, maybe a little hat tip or whatever, HT, you know, that old thing they do, you know?
What are we doing here?
It's clearly your bit. I mean, there's no chance in hell that the person who put that tweet out does not know that that's your thing.
Yeah.
No, I bet my life that they know.
I mean, I believe I tweeted it in 2021. So
that exact thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And also you've done that version 8 zillion times.
And I'm close to retiring it. Like
well, because it's almost to the point, where it's like, you know, when the Phillies are stealing the bit, it's probably time to retire it. You know?
Well, and like last night, I went back to the well because I tweeted, like, I've never seen a better third baseman defensively in team history than Alec
What
Bohm.
A play, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
What a play.
Well, the
it was so smooth and so easy. It's just like, yeah, bare hand, no big.
You want to talk about shocking developments of the 2023
great.
Phillies. Like I just have I have no fear when a ball's
one
hit
error. He's had one error all year.
Nice.
He's been phenomenal. Like he is a vacuum. It is It is astounding. Mm-hmm. So, and not to mention, like, also when he's played first base, has been terrific there. Like, for someone who, like, literally never played the position in a meaningful game, he's done a really nice job.
Totally. And again, you talk about not worried about Sanchez, not worried about, like, the bullpen.
What is going on here? Where are we with it's unbelievable.
They're weird. It's a weird year.
Chris Sanchez just goes, he had 75 pitches, six innings. Like, yeah, no problem. Yeah. It's like in the minors, the dude walked every battery freaking phase. He comes to the majors and it's like, I don't walk anybody.
Yep. It's been phenomenal. Andrew Painter, it was good to see him get back on
bullpen
the mound.
Actually, yeah, well, especially because he was on. So for those who don't know, had a bullpen. There was a report that he was going to have to stop, that there was a little tightness, whatever.
Minor stiffness.
Minor stiffness was back the next day, so we're all good.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah, for this second until the next one.
Yeah, well, and if he does come back, first off, I don't think they can take Sanchez out of the rotation, and I think they would go six-man.
I think so, too. I mean, you think about, and think about maybe as a playoff guy, as a like having that potential to bring Painter in for an inning or two out of the bullpen, maybe in the playoffs or something like that. Getting to the playoffs, like, it is something where we've kind of, you know, he's like out of sight, out of mind, but he is, like, he is talented enough where mm-hmm. he's the kind of guy who come in and be a difference maker for you.
Yeah, he's going to be 06 Wainwright.
Wow. I love that.
06 Wainwright.
Honestly, that's my favorite comp ever. I'm all in on 06 Wainwright.
06 Wainwright.
That's freaking great.
Comes out of the bullpen as a rookie,
yes.
and dominant.
Dominant.
Yep.
Yeah, because he was really good.
Yep. Either way, though, yeah, and if they go six-man down the stretch run, it gives Wheeler hopefully some time off, Noel some time off.
Yeah.
Now they have to be in a better spot.
Like, right, but that is important. I mean, we talked about that a lot last year. That Wheeler time off, I think, really mattered in the playoffs.
Totally. And last thing is that Orion Kerkering was in Reading last night.
I saw, buddy!
Dude, he is nasty, man. Yeah. He is. He's moving quick, yes. And just saying, Sir Anthony's hurt. Sir Anthony's, like, can't come back from the oblique.
Right.
Come on, let's get Orion up here.
What a leap,
dude! His slider is disgusting. Absolutely
I love
disgusting.
Him. I love again. You just show me the video. I've never been more in on a minor league pitcher.
That a guy. That always seems to end well for us.
I know. We never get those wrong. Hey, Junior.
All right. Yep. All right. Are you ready?
It's the whole reason we did this spot. I mean, you know, sweeping the Rays is nice.
Cute little story,
but. It's draft time, buddy. All right. So should I turn my mic off? Should I add some color? Just, you know, what should I do here?
I'll sit back. I don't know how you should, frankly, handle this. Like, you can just do whatever you want to do.
Okay, I'll go.
So,
get out of here.
So the plan for Sunday, I think, is going to be this, is that we'll do a podcast reacting to the Marlins series.
Yes, we will. Without a doubt, 100%.
And then I think I'm going to come on after you're long asleep.
Oh, I will be way asleep, buddy. Yeah.
And
Especially because, like, for anyone who comes to the event Tuesday night, feel free to ask me how annoyed I am that I have to wake up at 3:20 the next morning, because I will be annoyed, but I'll be happy to see everyone.
Right, and you can, someone else can sympathize with your tiredness.
Going to have to nap. Going to have to take a nap during the day.
Wah.
You know, wah.
Wah.
Is right. Yes,
wah.
I know. Wah. Poor me. Poor you're right. No,
the poor me's.
You know what? You're right.
Thank you.
I am excited. I will not complain once.
Good. So, and I think, like, when they make the pick, I'll try to be on YouTube and do, like, a live reaction as fast as possible once I gain my thoughts.
Okay, good.
And we're all good. So watch out for that, and then it'll be dropped on the podcast feed and all that stuff. And then I think we'll do a post-draft full reaction probably Wednesday?
Yeah, probably Wednesday or Thursday. One of those days, depending on...
Because last year, I went to Virginia on the draft
week. Yeah, and it was a disaster.
I was like, I didn't get a chance to dive into my guys.
We will definitely do it. Either Wednesday or Thursday, depending on... Probably basically how tired I am on Wednesday after being out at night on Tuesday.
Yes.
But 100% it'll be.
All right. The first is... so I have my tiers here. The tiers of guys I die out of happiness.
Real quick, I love that. For those who don't know, if you're new to the pod, we did get some new listeners during the World Series round. If you're new to the pod, we do this every year. And amazingly, Jack has found different names for each tier every year. So this is great.
It's mostly because I forget what I said said the year before.
Yeah, but you always have good tiers. So
thank you.
Lay it on us.
Guys I die out of happiness if they are Phillies.
Okay.
Two is be very happy.
Okay.
You know. I would not be anti these guys. Yeah. I'd be very happy, but I would not die out of happiness. And then my last tier is would have to talk myself into.
Yeah. So, yeah, the talk myself into has always been a staple of the tiers. But otherwise,
I don't want to be negative.
No, yeah. Look, if they draft a guy, you'll figure it out.
Yeah,
you'll
don't get worry. There.
Justin Crawford, by the way, at like 3:30 or whatever.
First homer.
35 stolen bases.
I know.
I'm excited.
It's exciting. He's got to lift the ball, but he's excited. Yeah. It's exciting.
You know, he could be really Mays Hayes. I'll take it.
Yeah, just be super fast.
Yeah.
And famously, Andrew Painter was once in the would have to talk myself into group.
Buddy, he sure was.
I didn't even bring up Justin Crawford last year because I was like, no way they're going to.
Yeah,
Justin
it wasn't
Crawford.
Even mentioned. Yeah.
So, and by the way, I mean, Johan Rojas is heating up at Double A.
He's been really good. Yeah.
So, all right, the guys I die out of happiness tier. Number one is obviously Chase Davis. I've just.
We know. It is the number one. Your heart is Chase's.
Yes.
As it has been before.
The most important Chase in Phillies history.
Oh, the bit's not dead,
it's
buddy.
Chase Davis.
The bit's not dead.
But so today, Keith Law, our good friend of the podcast, and
like great friend.
Yeah, like
really
loved,
just
enjoyed
really
his time
enjoyed
on the
his
pod.
Time here. You know, there was no bristling between the two of you.
Yes,
it was great.
Yeah. And I was right.
You were right. I'm just saying, you were right.
So Keith Law.
There is no way he'll take a high school.
Yeah.
No way.
Deep breaths, Keith. and
then we get Keith back on the pod.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd be pumped. Jim Callis also had put out his mock draft. No, it's Jonathan Mayo. And they both had Chase Davis at 27.
Whoa, really?
So that's really exciting.
Oh, buddy.
But the people that I
trust
have him going like top 10.
Okay, so real quick. I know the baseball draft is super weird with slotting and paying and all that, but like, explain just real quick before you dive in, and not to, you know, extend this longer than I need to, but how does that happen? How does someone get mocked at 27 and go 10?
Because they can get, like, the teams in the top 10 have more money, and they can just spread out the money and go under slot. So, like the Phillies can only pay, I think, a guy like $2 million at 27. Teams in the top 10 have, like, $5 to $6 million, I believe, in their slot allotment. So they can offer them, like, four, but they still have $2 million they can spread out the rest of the draft.
Right.
The Phillies only have $2 million.
Right, but my point is, like, how is he potentially picked 8 or less to 27? Why wouldn't he go 14? Why wouldn't he go 17?
Oh, he could. Okay. I'm just saying, like, I think there's a high chance he goes top 10 because I think teams believe in his talent and can sign him for cheaper and spread the money out.
Oh, I got you. I get it. They take him for cheaper, spread the money. I got you. I was misunderstanding.
Yes.
Yeah, I got you. So he's, like, not necessarily
a top 10 pick on paper.
He's not a top 10 talent per se. Gotcha.
But they feel like you can take him early, get the money out of the way,
and still potentially get a top 10 talent because the bat has such upside.
Correct.
All right, I got it.
I would not be surprised if he goes number one and they underslot him that much. So that, I mean, I'm just telling you, like, that's
wow.
That's what teams, that's what the
I know it's what teams
the
do.
The model based teams will do something like that.
Yeah.
If the Orioles, I would be shocked if the Orioles passed on the 17 because it's something they would love to do.
Yeah. Well, anyway. The Orioles, I mean, do they even need more young
dude,
talent?
Dude, it's just like, I mean, holy cow.
Dude after dude.
I would
dude
die to have what the Orioles can do.
I know. They're like your perfect. It's like every week, oh, now we're bringing this guy up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, 45 home runs and double. It's just like, unbelievable.
I know. Gunnar Henderson, man.
I mean, Adley Rutschman's like one of the most exciting young players in the sport. Like, that dude's freaking awesome.
And Jackson's coming.
Yeah, Westberg. Like, they just have all these freaking guys. Oh, yeah, Jackson. I mean, they freaking, like, seriously?
Yeah, they brought up another kid. They brought up Colton Cowser the
yes,
other day.
Yes, it's just like dude after dude after dude.
I didn't like in the draft. I did not like in the draft.
Wow.
But whatever.
He's not a Phil. You don't have to
tell yourself. He's not a Phil. So, frankly, I'll be shocked if he's there at 27. If he's there, I'll be thrilled. Walker Martin is a guy, this 19-year-old, he's 19, so maybe that's the reason he falls, because he's older for a high school prospect, so teams don't like that.
Walker Martin, great name.
I agree.
Great name.
Yeah. And if they drafted a Walker on Walker's birth year, talk about synergy.
Yeah, that's strong.
A lot of people think he's going to be a center.
I also like the people who, because, like, Walker obviously could be a first name or a last name, but I think most people, like, at least historically, it's, like, more a last name than a first name. I like the people who have the last name than the first name, like Walker Martin, a first name more than a last name. I like that.
Good.
It's like a two first names guy in a way.
Right. My only problem with Walker Martin is I keep saying Ethan Martin.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it's, like, former Phil Great.
Of course, yeah, all-timer.
So I just think he's going to rake, and all the reports are that he's just crushing in the interviews. Like, people love him.
Ooh.
So I'm always impartial.
You know me. I'm a big interview guy.
Yep. And then third is Hurston Waldrep, the Florida pitcher, who I just believe he's used wrong. And I think his split changeup is already the best pitch in baseball. So.
Hurston Waldrep sounds like someone should be living on Martha's Vineyard.
I agree. Yeah. And he should be a third.
Hurston Waldrep the third.
Hurston Waldrep the third.
Nailed
yes.
it. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Guys I'd be very happy with. Charlie Soto is a former shortstop turned pitcher.
Just sounds like a baseball player.
Yeah. He throws 98 already. He's a little smaller. But you watch him, you see it. Changeup has good feel for it. Johnny Farmello,
like a little smaller or like small?
No, like 6'1" small.
So not like 6'0" small.
Not 6'0" small. Similar size.
Or 6'0".
Johnny, yeah, I know. Bring him back though.
Yeah, I would say, hey, 100%. Get him with our development team. Who knows what could happen?
Okay, Johnny Farmello.
Okay,
Johnny.
I'm talking too much. Here.
Johnny Farmello, who I think is probably gonna end up be a Dodger. He's like a prep kid that's going to Virginia. Hits the ball really hard. Swings kind of ugly, but hits the ball hard. So I think teams are gonna try to iron out his deficiencies.
Less great name.
Yeah, Johnny Farmello.
That's tough.
What about Sammy Stafora?
I kind of like that.
Sammy Stafora.
I can get by on Sammy Stafora.
So Farmello and Stafora, to me, both have like kind of ugly swings, but they hit the ball hard.
Okay.
So I think it's someone that a lot of projection teams, especially 25 to 35 in the comp rounds, are like, that's a top 10 talent if we can get the swing right.
Right.
So I'll take a shot on that. George Lombard, he is like he kind of just does everything well, but nothing great. But he's a young kid with projection. And his dad was a draft pick.
Okay. The name, like, you know, is there some names where you just can't imagine them being like a young kid?
George Lombard sounds like
a 7-year-old guy.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Just does.
So we'll see if he's really 18 or 70.
Yeah, exactly.
Teams will have to figure that out during the draft process.
It's going
to
be an important thing, clarification.
Yeah.
For those teams.
Really smooth defender. People think he's probably a third baseman long term. Blake Mitchell is a catcher, but he can play center field. Like, he's that athletic.
Wow.
So
it's like JT-esque.
Yeah, but beautiful swing. Frankly, I think he could be there just because, like, teams don't really need catchers, it feels like. But if they're looking for a JT replacement, I mean, Blake Mitchell.
Which, look, if you're drafted,
they have to start thinking about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Great point.
Nolan Schanel is a first baseman from FAU that, like, I think the model teams, like the teams that are super analytically driven, are going to be all over. Just hits the ball hard. Probably the best hitter in the country.
Wow.
But he went to a small school.
Small college,
so people,
the level of competition.
So won't buy into him. But if he's there, so he's a first baseman.
Isn't FAU, that program's grown, right?
Well,
like,
only because of the tournament. The NCAA is that,
Okay.
I mean, they were in the Final Four.
Yeah. I was like, I feel like they're the better program.
No,
like, well,
they're a good baseball school for like not my level, but like
you're like, wait a minute, that's a little strange.
Better than me, but not like a traditional power. But he's a first baseman who I think could replace Reese.
Okay.
In the next couple of years. Yo-Yo Morales, who I brought up a lot
great
at the beginning name. Of the process. I still have concerns about swing and miss, but man, the swing is like when he connects, like he reminds me so much of Aramis Ramirez.
A-Dot.
I love Aramis Ramirez.
So we might be I realize when I say that no one else knows that joke.
No.
So when we were doing our very first fantasy draft, my buddy Chad, we're doing the draft and we're going through it. He goes, I'll take A-Dot Ramirez, because he had no idea who he was. It was just A-Dot.
Oh,
you know, like
nice.
You look at the sheet. So he just became A-Dot for our group like forever.
It's not a bad nickname.
It was a good nickname. A-Dot. Yeah. Yep. So A-Dot Ramirez.
Kevin McGonigal, the local kid. Like, I think he's just like a second baseman. So like I think he's falling not because of his hit tool, just because I don't think do people want to draft a second baseman that high?
Mm-hmm.
Because
he's like projects as a second baseman.
Yeah, and that's not something people are like.
Yeah, people usually like to draft a shortstop and maybe become second baseman or whatever, that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so right. The hit tool's there. I would not be upset if they took him at 27 at all.
That is weird, though. You're right. Yeah, I think you rarely see guys, like first-round guys, who are like pure second baseman.
Well, he's playing shortstop. It's just like
that's where he's going to base him.
Yeah. Rock Chawalski is a shortstop from Southern California.
Rock Chawalski.
Chawalski.
That's a name.
Chawalski. So it's a terrible, obviously. Like,
horrible last name. Rock is obviously
it's a good name.
Top tier name.
So yeah. As a name test guy.
That's a tough one for you.
I know.
Like, yeah, I'm actually intrigued. So for those who don't know, Jack Fritz, the originator of the name test, used to be a big thing back in the day with the Jack Fritz name test. Shout out to Counterpoint Pod.
Yeah.
What do you do with a guy
I know.
Like that? Because that's a real tough one, you know?
So my first option is change your name. Because like if I change his name, I think he's a top 20 pick.
I mean, Rock, almost anything else.
Yeah.
Like, boom, look at that dude.
Rock Chawalski. It's just like, again,
it's
not great.
It's horrible.
It's tough to see that name.
Yeah, that's the point of the name test. You got to think like, all right, like, can I see this guy in the All-Star game with that name? Can I see his jersey being sold at like the MLB store? It's a tough one.
I know. But, I mean, the defense is just transcendent.
Yes.
He might struggle against breaking balls, but I think his swing is really pure. And he is both a UCLA quarterback commit.
Oh.
and a shortstop. So that I think,
I'm a big multi-sport guy.
So I think he's going to be hard to sign away because I think he's going to go and play both there.
Yeah, probably. but let me tell you, being quarterback at UCLA, it seems like a pretty good gig.
And the starting short. But you have to play for Chip, though.
That's true.
Yeah,
so. I just meant more in terms of the, you know, extracurricular life that you're living.
Yeah. Like, especially with NILs. Yeah.
Yeah, what a life.
Yeah. So we'll see. But I would, the player, and you watch him, I like him a lot.
And again, I really do that. I'm not just saying that. I like guys who are high-level athletes in multiple sports. Like, yeah. there's just been enough. Like, we've seen so many of those guys through the years, the Carl Crawfords or whatever, who it usually works out.
Yeah. Trent Carraway is a shortstop that's going to eventually be a third baseman that just flat-out rakes. Like, I think he's the next Austin Riley. And I know that's rich coming from me because I hate Austin Riley with every fiber of my being.
I can't believe you just said that as a compliment. I'm shy. I don't even know what to do right now.
I don't think they'll take him at 27, but you watch him. He looks like a 90s, like he's a little crouched guy that just like lifts and he looks like a 90s power hitter.
Love it.
Yeah. He looks like a 90s power hitter. Cade Cooler.
Cade Cooler.
He is a little right-handed pitcher from Campbell. Fastball just jumps. So I don't. He's starting to work his way into first-round conversation. He's like jumped up the last week, I want to say. I don't think they'll take him there, but I would be happy. Bryce Matthews is a shortstop from Nebraska, who I think, if everything works out, could be the next Mookie. Well, because all of his exits.
I love you just throwing these out.
Because his swing is exactly like Mookie's.
You never do like, I think this guy could be the next Mike Cameron. Like, you always go freaking Mookie. Right?
Could be Mookie.
Mike Cameron, like, if you're Mike Cameron, like, what a great career. Like, Mike Cameron was a damn good baseball player for a really long time, great fielder, had a nice career. Like, you'd be happy to get a Mike Cameron. You go Mookie.
Yeah. Well, shortstop.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I'm just saying, the swing looks very similar. Exit velos, like just quick hands, could be Mookie. And then Braden Taylor is the third baseman from TCU at like 26 home runs this year. I think he's a very, very safe pick that I'd be happy with.
Okay.
He works a ton of walks, hits some home runs. All right, the tier that I would have to talk myself into. Brock Wilkin is this third baseman from Wake Forest that had a ton of home runs this year. Just looks stiff to me. Looks a little stiff. Jacob Wilson, I can't believe he's a first rounder. Like, everyone's like, oh, he's going to go top 14. I watch him. I don't see it. He's a shortstop from Grand Canyon. And
Philly's first round pick.
I know. Philly's first round pick, Jacob Wilson. Lock it in. Colt Emerson, a lot of people, he's a prep shortstop. If they took any prep shortstop, I'd be thrilled. I don't really see it with Colt Emerson.
Okay.
That's my one prep shortstop I would not be thrilled with. And then Thomas White, who they are 100% drafting, I would have to talk. I would 100% have to talk myself into. No. All right.
Real quick, before we move on from the first round to your late round, guys, and I can't believe that you're giving
Do you see these names? It's a lot
like
of names.
15 names on there. Are you serious? 20 names on there. Late round, guys. Quickly before we, again, this is
18.
I said 15, 8, 20, not too bad by me, just looking at it quickly. It's lucky it's not 11:04 at night. I would be. One quick question.
Yeah.
You've talked a lot about you want them to draft a hitter. As opposed to a pitcher that,
yes.
If you had to put, and I know that, you know, best player available and all that type of stuff, but if you had to put odds on what you think they will do, just pitcher or hitter, forgetting everything else, what kind of odds would you give towards hitter?
70%.
Okay.
I think their number one, I think Chase Davis is 100% a Philly if he's there at 27.
Right.
I think Jonathan Mayer wrote yesterday that, no, Fangraphs, he wrote yesterday that, the floor for Chase Davis is the Phillies.
Wow.
Which means like they're drafting him.
Yeah.
If he's there.
Yeah. Jalen Carter and the Eagles.
And then I think it's prep. I think it's prep shortstop and then pitcher.
Okay.
Like I think the only pitcher they would take over a prep shortstop or Chase Davis would be Waldrop.
If he falls there.
Which I don't think he will.
All right, let's do the guys that.
All right, I promise I'll make this fast. I have to, because in case these guys are good, I want credit.
I get it. I know how you roll, buddy.
Rafi Velasquez is like, he has
the same. That's a baseball name right there.
Same setup as Schwarber, like, and just hits tanks. And he said, like, I watched the perfect game, high school American game, 3 times.
Psycho.
Yeah. He said basically he's getting back to his wiffle ball.
I'm happy to know that having a kid didn't slow you down at all in this environment.
No. Yeah, well, because he goes to bed at 7, 8 on the weekends. And what am I supposed to
do? I remember those days.
Yeah, wow. Exactly. So I just
always a way later than I am these days.
Liam Peterson's a Florida commit, high school prep arm. He won't be there in the third round anyway. Nazan Zanatello, I love, but I would not take him at 27. I don't think he'll be there in the third round. By the way, they don't have a second round pick, which is a disaster.
Is that because of Turner?
Yes. Max Anderson, a third baseman from Nebraska that hits the ball extremely hard. Again, looks like a 90s slugger. Cole Schoenwetter, I think, has the best fastball in the draft.
Cole
Schoenwetter. I know, terrible name. If his, again, if his name was just like Schoen or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
fine.
Best
Wetter,
fastball
Cole
in the
Wetter.
Draft.
You know, it is funny, by the way, how like the only thing that I've brought to this little part of the pod is just critiquing their names.
Yeah, well, that's what I want from you.
Okay, good.
Steven Echevarria. Is a prep
any
arm.
Relation to
no? Because okay. he's a high school kid from New Jersey.
Okay, well, you know, you never know. Echevarria, you know, there aren't that many out there.
Yeah, but we might use him in the grid coming up soon.
Oh, buddy,
and he played for a good amount of teams.
Yeah, he did. You're right.
He could be Max Scherzer. I'm just like first time I watched him, like wow, he kind of finished like Scherzer.
I love it. It's a late, you know, later round guy or third, fourth. You're like, oh, this guy's just
could be Scherzer.
Scherzer.
Yeah. Isaiah Kopet is a little lefty from Ohio State that can reach 97. Mm-hmm. So I would like more lefties out of the bullpen because we need that. Mm-hmm. George Walkow, who I cannot believe is not going in the like, he's 17. He hit a ball 113 miles an hour. 116 miles
what?
An hour at the draft combine.
What?
He's 6'7". He
what?
Reclassified.
16?
He reclassified from 2024.
Is a Philly hit a ball 116 this year?
Schwarber hit one 113 the other day.
I don't know if anyone's hit a ball 116. That's
it's I don't understand why.
That's nuts.
So if he's there in the third round, whatever. Whatever. Saban Caballos.
Nailed it.
Not
is it Caballos?
Caballos.
Is it the
it's
double
Caballos.
L's?
It's Caballos. I wrote it wrong. I wrote an A instead of an E.
It's not Caballos?
I'm not sure. But
is it a double L?
It's a double L.
Might be Caballos.
It could be. Okay. He is a third baseman from Oregon who can't play third base, but I think could be the Reese replacement.
Okay.
So probably,
multiple Reese replacements.
Well, you got to find one. Kemp Alderman, absolutely.
Kemp Alderman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rakes, dude. Absolutely okay. Rakes, but okay. Like terrible defensive player.
Okay.
So he's a DH,
so
which we need
Philly.
More. Yeah.
He's a, Philly, yeah.
He's a lock to be a Philly.
That's what we do here.
Yeah. Kemp. He also destroyed the combine. So Kemp Alderman, I would love. Cole Miller has gotten hot. At the end of the draft cycle, had he been as good as he is now a year ago, he's probably a top 10, top 20 pick.
Wow.
Like, his stuff is stupid. Andrew Walters, I won the Phillies draft last year, best fastball in college baseball. Hunter Owen is a lefty from Vanderbilt that I think has projectability can come up. Brody Wilkins is the Griff McGarry of the draft.
Ooh.
Yeah, Winthrop. I would die for Brody Wilkins is the fourth, fifth round guy that I need to be a Philly. Like, he could be the next this kid in Seattle, Bryce Miller.
Oh, well, another high level.
Pretty
comp.
Good.
That's good. I do appreciate you didn't say Leano in Hall of Famer that time.
I know. Zion Rose is a young catcher that incredible upside.
Zion
yeah.
Rose.
He's me good. Tayshaun Walton is a he's like an outfield prospect with loaded like tree trunks of legs that I think can hit the ball hard.
Big
and then this is a strictly deep cut because he's not going to be drafted before the sixth or seventh round. But Justin Best, I watched him hit once. I was like, oh, he hits the ball kind of hard.
So, Best.
Justin Best. That's what I got.
You know what? Hold on. I'm gonna.
Thank
I'm,
you.
I'm
stand
standing up.
Yep. Can't wait.
I will say you really did put in a lot of work. I really do appreciate
Sunday.
It.
Sunday.
Like that was a lot of work.
Yeah.
That was a lot of freaking dudes right there.
A lot of guys. A lot
right?
of time wasted.
It's awesome. All right. So coming up again Tuesday night we will be at Timeout Sports Bar in Huntington Valley hanging out watching the All-Star Game coming out with us. Before that, lay it out again. You're recording. Oh, well, we'll record Sunday after the Marlins series, big series. We'll be here Sunday, you know, 4 o'clock, whenever this year, 5 o'clock, whatever it's done on Sunday, we'll be there. Tell them your draft schedule for the people. Cause let me tell you, whoever's listening right now and just went through all that, like they're going to tune in for your draft.
Right.
That's for sure.
So yeah. So I'll just hop on YouTube. Whenever they make the pick, we'll have a live reaction. I don't know. I have no idea how long I'm going to go for, but I'll hop on. I'll be on YouTube.
Great.
Maybe I'll answer some questions in the comments.
Love that.
And then, regardless, it'll be up in your podcast feeds for Monday morning. So, two podcasts on Sunday.
Awesome.
No big deal.
All right, coming out with us on Tuesday night. Again, we'll talk to you on Sunday. Before then, beat the frickin' Marlins, man. Handle business. Keep this roll going. Beat the Marlins. We'll talk to you guys on Sunday. It's Fritz himself.